Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service, and the full recording can be found on our Facebook page as well as our YouTube channel, both linked on our website. We continue our series on the Sermon on the Mount, and the readings are taken from Matthew 6 verses 1 to 4 and from Deuteronomy 15 verses 7 to 11. The talk today is by Mike Gillingham, a reader at St. James, entitled Living for the Approval of Others.
Heavenly Father, pour your Spirit into us. Fill us with your love and grant us your peace, now and always. Amen. Please be seated, and Nigel and Sarah Bright will be reading the Bible readings to us.
Our first reading is taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, and it's entitled Giving to the Needy. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honoured by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. This is the word of the Lord.
And our Old Testament reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 7 to 11. And I think you'll recognise the similarity of the words. This is obviously the passage that was being thought about by Jesus when he issued those commands, as we've read in Matthew. If anyone is poor amongst your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the lands that the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards them. Rather be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need. Be careful not to harbour this wicked thought. The seventh year, the year for cancelling debt, is near, so that you do not show ill will towards the needy among your fellow Israelites and give them nothing. They may then appeal to the Lord against you, and you will be found guilty of sin. Give generously to them, and do so without a grudging heart. Then, because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in everything you put into your hands. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed towards your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land. This is the word of the Lord.
I have a very simple talk this morning. Give generously, especially to the poor. That's what Jesus told us. I'm too enthusiastic. I can't be too enthusiastic, can I? I should be enthusiastic. Do not make a public display of how good you are. All right? Remember that. Give generously, especially to the poor. Don't make a public display of how good you are. Well, I'm not going to leave it there. because one or two things need a little explaining. In the Deuteronomy lesson, it said this. The seventh year, the year for cancelling debts, is near. Well, you see, you might lend some money to somebody. You see somebody who is in trouble and lend some money to them, which is fine. But they had a system. I can explain it most easily like this. Supposing that in 2018 you had lent some money to somebody. Well, they might repay you in 2019 or 2020 or 2021. You've got a good hope of getting your money back. But supposing it was 2023, this year that you lent them the money. 2024 is the seventh year. Ooh, all the debts are cancelled. You won't get your money back. And in Deuteronomy, you're told, don't worry about getting your money back. If you see somebody poor, you should lend them the money, even if the next year is the year for cancelling debt. So we've got to be generous, and generous to the point of not always expecting to get our money back. And in the seven times seventh year, after 50 years, it was the Jubilee. You may not realize that this is where the Jubilee comes from. The Jubilee. And in that year, everything was cancelled. Not just the debts, but supposing you'd had to sell something to pay for what you wanted. In the Jubilee year, you got everything back. You got your land back, so you didn't remain poor forever. Jubilee may recall something to you. How many of you, I wonder, were involved in this campaign for the year 2000? Actually, if it hadn't said the word 2000, I wouldn't have known when it was that we all got involved in this and excited about it. And perhaps you were one of those who campaigned to try and make poverty history. Well, it did a great deal of good, actually. I'm sorry, it didn't. There's still poverty around. And Jesus said that there will always be poor people. It was a great idea. I bet those poor countries are still poor. And yet, God provides enough food for everybody to eat. Now, I can stand before you and say, the harvest this year gave enough food for nobody in the world to be hungry. Quite a thought, isn't it? God is generous, but we are not always generous ourselves. There is enough food for every poor person to eat. And it's good that Christians are in the lead in so many ways. I mean, just this month, we've been thinking about Tear Fund, the Evangelical Alliance Fund for Relief. And we remember some of the good that that does in giving to the poor. And very excitingly, soon one or two of you won't be here because you'll be in Uganda helping poor people who are not just poor in money, but actually have some sort of handicap that isn't met necessarily in that country. It's one of those things about the home group notes that David gave us. He asked, have you seen evidence of the Spirit at work? And I read that just as I read the passage in Acts where the Spirit-filled new church was giving money to the poor. selling their possessions and giving to the poor. And when I had to prepare to preach from this, the Spirit is so powerful, he can reach into people's pockets and open their wallets. Wow, is he powerful. I forgot who it was who said the last part of anyone to be converted is their wallet. But God can do it. And Jesus said, when you give to the needy. Notice when. Not if, or, you know, if you feel like it, and give to the needy. But when you give to the needy. He expected it. Naturally, Jews did. As you heard from Deuteronomy, they were commanded to give to the needy. In the East End of London, it said, you never saw a poor Jew. Of course, they were poor Jews. But they were helped by their fellow Jews because God had told them to help. And that's something we should do. But there's a temptation here. If you've done something good, there's a great temptation to let people know about it. But Jesus said this. Jesus knows all about the good you did. And he rejoices. You don't need to let other people know. Because that's a temptation. Now, we're going to share a secret. Ray and Janet, can I help you? Nigel's ready, just a second. This happens every week, and I bet most of you have never noticed. But we're going to do it a little differently this week. Ready? Our Father, take these gifts of our love and use them and us in your service. Amen. Thank you, Nigel. It's done publicly so that you all know that if you gave anything, it's going into the safe, right and proper. We don't normally make a fuss about it. And you know, I wouldn't make a fuss about it here if we knew who'd given that money. Supposing that we had said, Fred Bloggs gave all this money. Well done, Fred Bloggs. John Doe, what's that? Only that? Oh, you should be ashamed of yourself. That's not the way we are to behave. We are to give to the poor. But we give in secret. There are very few people who know who gives what in this church. We keep it as few as possible. And that's right and proper. Nobody knows who has given a lot and who has given a little. Now, Jesus mentioned hypocrites. And I'm going to ask one of my fellow hypocrites or thespians to come and help me. Jenny. We're going to show you two hypocrites. Ooh, I better be careful with them. Ooh, I've got to be careful where I stand because I can barely see through this one. But never mind. We are now hypocrites. We are interpreting from under. Under what? Under masks. Now, the Greek actors, and frankly, they were the only actors around at this time. The Greek actors always wore masks. I actually think that perhaps they weren't so good at acting after all. I mean, if Jenny or I are performing and we want to be angry, we have to pretend to be angry. But the Hippocrates would put on an angry mask. Or perhaps they put on a joyful mask. Or they put on a, I don't know, loving mask. I can still remember vividly the mask that Oedipus put on when I saw Oedipus Tyrannus. Didn't understand a word of it, but I understood what was happening because of the masks. So we're Hippocrates underneath the mask. Thank you, Jenny. Let me return your mask to you. Oh, and you're... I hope I haven't lost the microphone. So that's what hypocrites are. Hypocrites, hypo under, interpreting from under, crites. We're not to be like that. Actually, when Jesus talks about the hypocrites blowing trumpets when they gave something, there is no actual evidence that this happened. This is hyperbole, over the top. But we're not to be hypocrites. I didn't have enough photographs. I should have when I was in Jerusalem, a photograph, because every orphanage, hospital, whatever charitable thing is covered with plaques like this that say who gave the money. There's even a joke that a lot of American Jews saved up the money to buy a fighter plane for Israel. But unfortunately, it couldn't fly because of the weight of all the plaques on it. Of course, we're not like that, are we? When it came to replacing this old tower with the new one, I'm going to have to replace that, I don't know. Anyway, I'm sure we won't do what they did when this was. But if you go to the record office, you will find there a sheet of paper of everybody who gave money to it. And at the top is the person who gave most, and it goes all the way down two sides of A4. Actually, maybe bigger than A4, it's probably foolscap. Down to the bottom, the one who gave least. That's hypocritical. And I owe a debt to Fabian, because he pointed out this isn't the only way in which we might want to show off to others and be thought good of. Maybe it's wanting to be fashionable. This isn't my temptation. I'm so far from being with it that I don't even know what it is. But it is for some people. When we stand up, we want to be thought well of. I hope you're not going to stone me at the end of this sermon, for instance. But it's one reason, I think, for school uniform, because it can, our clothes can be a way of boasting. It's the one argument for wearing cassocks. And the argument against is that we look a bit silly, and it suggests that the church is out of date, which it clearly isn't. A French painter called Seurat painted this picture of people out on a Sunday afternoon near Paris. When he came to paint another picture called Les Poseurs, the posers, in other words, the models, he showed three models, but on the wall behind them is this, the posers. We can all be tempted to be posers, acting out something that we're not, just to be thought good of by people. There's one person whose approval we need, and that is our Lord and Master, Jesus. And he wants us to give generously and not to make a public display, not to put on masks and blow trumpets, just to serve him. Let's pray. O Lord, take our masks away, and knowing we are open to you, may we follow you in all our ways. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.